Shoes are dropping in the Rupert Murdoch tabloid phone hacking scandal. Two top former executives of the Murdoch-owned News Corp are breaking ranks. They say James Murdoch, in fact, knew of damning evidence that showed that hacking at the now-defunct News of the World tabloid went beyond one reporter. Now, that's contrary to testimony James Murdoch gave in Parliament this week, in which he said he never saw an email from a reporter addressed to another reporter named Neville and containing transcripts of hacked voicemails of Gordon Taylor, former head of Britain's soccer union. Murdoch said he never saw that email, even though he authorized a $1.4 million settlement to Taylor. Here's an exchange between James Murdoch and an incredulous parliamentarian.
When you signed off the Taylor payment, did you see or were you made aware of the full Neville email, the transcript of the hacked voicemail message?
No, I was not aware of that at the time.
So why on earth was it so? I won't go. But you paid an astronomical sum, and there was no reason to.
No, there was every reason to settle the case, given the likelihood of losing the case, and given the damages that we had received counsel would be levied.
Today, James Murdoch says he stands by that testimony, but the British Prime Minister is calling on him to answer questions about what he knew and when he knew it. And that call comes as the U.S. Justice Department is preparing subpoenas to investigate whether Rupert Murdoch or News Corp broke U.S. laws when British employees bribed British police to get cell phone information. Michael Damaski, special correspondent at Newsweek, The Daily Beast, and editor of the journal Democracy, joins us now. Michael, I mean, I don't mean to go all tabloid on us, but is this a smoking gun, shoes dropping? What's your sense of these two former executives?
It seems pretty smoking. I mean, you know, two people step forward to say, no, we showed him the email. The word they used in their statement is that James Murdoch was mistaken, but it's quite clear that what they're actually doing is saying James Murdoch lied.
Well, Rupert Murdoch, the father, made a point of saying in Parliament over and over that he felt that this is a story of his employees failing him. These are two employees now stepping forward. Do you think this is the beginning of reaction to, you know, all the guilt in this being shoved off from the top two Murdochs to other employees?
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, as soon as he said that, I thought, geez, he's been disappointed in his employees. Now, wait till he's got a lot more disappointment in store, I have a feeling.
But I'm wondering if, on the other hand, they could claim that James Murdoch's accusers are covering their own butts. And I mention that because we read in the Wall Street Journal today, and again, the Wall Street Journal, another holding of the Murdochs, but we read that a key part of the News Corp defense has been that they hired an outside law firm back in 2007 when all this happened to investigate whether hacking went beyond Royals reporter Clive Goodman, who was jailed for his hacking and claimed other people at the paper did it as well.
Right.
And that investigation, we now know, is actually very limited. And one of James Murdoch's accusers, one of those who said he knew about this, was the company lawyer who oversaw that investigation. So could he be covering his butt?
Undoubtedly, everybody is covering their butts. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about it. But when two people step forward to say something in concert, that has a little bit more credibility than one person saying it, and they're putting their names and their reputations behind this, and they're saying that James Murdoch lied before Parliament. Yeah. So they're saying he committed a crime.
Well, as you know, speaking of crime, there are many investigations going on in Britain. There's an investigation into whether the police there used something called pinging to find location information on people and give that to Murdoch employees, reporters. In the U.S., the FBI is looking into allegations that a former New York City police officer was offered money from Murdoch employees for information about 9/11 victims. But you write about this Justice Department investigation. Subpoenas have been drawn up, but it hasn't been launched yet. Looking at allegations that News Corp paid Scotland Yard officials to obtain phone numbers. In other words, that News Corp bribed Scotland Yard officials.
Yeah.
So what's the American law there?
It's the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. It was passed in 1977. It was really passed, truth be told, mainly to prevent U.S. corporations from engaging in corrupt and illegal practices overseas in countries where they might not be prosecuted for those practices, because those countries maybe didn't have the will or the resources to engage in such prosecutions, and to be able to prosecute them at home. I mean, the classic example given to me by the lawyers I spoke to would be a U.S. A corporate official abroad trying to win a contract in maybe a smaller country, bribing an official, and the official awards them the contract. That would be unlikely to be prosecuted in a small country, so this law made it possible to prosecute it in the United States. Now, this would be an odd, I think, application, really, and I'm no fan of Rupert Murdoch, but it would be a bit of an odd application of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, because they weren't winning contracts or News International wasn't doing anything that you could argue materially and directly benefited the company in a financial way.
Well, except it sold newspapers. You could say it sold newspapers. Yeah.
It sold newspapers, but you can't measure that.
Right.
You know, it's very hard to say. But you know, even though it may not be the heart of what the act was passed to do in 1977, I have to say these two lawyers that I spoke with, one a former federal prosecutor and another who's in private practice, whose practice deals almost exclusively with dealing with this act, lawsuits that stem from this act, they both said to me, and I asked them pretty tough questions, and they both said to me, no, it wouldn't surprise me if the Justice Department made this decision. It's perfectly within the ambit of the act.
Well, and how about being within the purview of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC? They sometimes have jurisdiction over this case,
right,
kind of case, and they can choose to make it either a criminal or a civil case. So, you know, you spoke to these lawyers who said it's legally possible.
Yeah.
But is it politically probable?
I think it's politically very improbable. I think we've watched Barack Obama operate for a period of time now, close to 3 years, 2.5 years anyway as president. Obama would have to know, and Eric Holder would have to know, that if they brought this proceeding against a media empire that is a sworn enemy of theirs, it would obviously be seen as political by at least by conservatives. Fox News would spend all day and night on the air just savaging them and saying how political they were, and the whole right wing would kick into gear and so on and so on and so on. And it just doesn't seem to me that it's in Obama's character to do that. But maybe Obama will not make the decision. That's always a possibility, which most people don't believe. But the question of the independence of any Justice Department is a question as old as this republic, right? Maybe this Justice Department has independence. I don't know.
Well, and as you said, two lawyers said they would certainly have the legal standing.
Yeah.
Michael Tomasky, special correspondent for Newsweek, The Daily Beast, and editor of the journal Democracy, thanks so much.
Enjoyed it.